The title of the message this evening is actually a question to each one of us. And the question is, the message is, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? You know, so as this word goes forth this evening, you know, I want you to think about what the word is saying. But then even after the message is over, when you go through your night and in the morning, coming days, you know, just think about, you know, who is Jesus to you? Amen. You know, God desires that we know who he is. I mean, he has a lot of names in the Word of God. And those names actually describe who he is. But many in the body of Christ only know him in a very limited way. And God desires that as his people, that we come to know him, you know, in his fullness. Now, it's very important to know him as Savior. And in the Word of God, Jesus asked the disciples, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" I mean, he already knew, but he wanted to get an answer from his disciples. "Whom do men say that I am?" Now, he had 12 disciples there, but only one out of the 12 received a revelation. And that revelation came from God the Father. In other words, revelation is not head knowledge. It's not something that you have learned by reading a book, but it's special light that is given to a person, in a particular area. And God loves to give his people revelation. And so he asked, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter stood up with Holy Ghost boldness. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. And so he said, "Thou art the Christ." That word Christ means anointed. So he was saying, "You're anointed. You are the anointed one." And he didn't stop there. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He didn't say dead God. He didn't even just say God. He said the living God. Because see, there have always been many, many gods in the world. How many know that? Amen. Many, many gods. There have been gods of wood, gods of stone. People have worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, you name it. And those things are their gods. Even the devil. Some call him, you know, their god. Jobs, their god. But Peter was very specific because he received not head knowledge, but he received revelation. "Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God." So if he was saying he is the Son of the living God, then he was letting everybody know that he was God the Son. He was God manifested in the flesh. Amen. And so as he described or told him who he was, Jesus told him right away. He said, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church." Upon this revelation of who Jesus Christ is, I will build my church. Not upon Peter, but upon that revelation. And so as people come to realize that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, then they realize, well, gee, you know, I can be born again. Amen. Each one of us had to come to a place where we realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that he and he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And as men and women of God, when people come to you, you know, you've got to have a word in season for them, a correct word. Because you'd be surprised at how many don't know Jesus Christ. You'd be surprised how many don't even know, you know, that he's God. Or that he's anointed. Don't know anything about him. Praise God. So often because we, you know, are in the word, we hear the word, we're around people, you know, that are saved. But when you get around other people, many times you think that they're saved, but they're not. Or you think that they know about Jesus, but they don't. And then there are those that, you know, profess to know, But they really don't. So God, like Jesus, you know, asked Peter that question, you know, who am I? Tonight he's saying to each one, who is Jesus Christ to you? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Amen. And he doesn't want us to stop at knowing him as Savior, but that's the most important part right there. And we got to get that right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you quickly to turn, you know, because when people ask you questions, you need to be able to show them in the Word. Amen. Praise God. That's why it's good to keep your Bible in your pocketbook. If you have a purse, a small one, or in your car, somewhere you can put your hand on it. Or men, you know, they're small ones. You can just stick in your pocket. Amen. Praise God. So that you can, you know, just, you know, take it out and show them. Not to get in an argument, but it's good to see the Word as well as hear the Word. We're looking at Matthew chapter 16. And we're just going to look at a couple of verses there. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, Jesus described himself as the Son of Man. What did he say? Who did he say he was? The Son of Man. We're going to briefly talk about that. And they said, some said that thou art John the Baptist. See, people were calling him, you know, saying, well, he's John the Baptist. Some Elijah. Verse 14, John chapter 16, verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And you know, they had been dead a long time, right? And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He said, men are saying this, and that I'm this person. He said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. That word means anointed. The Son of the living God. What kind of God do we serve? Living God. Amen. And that's important to let people know that God's not dead. Because many times when people see crosses on us and there's nothing wrong, you know, if wearing crosses, but particularly if Jesus is still on that cross that a person wears, you know, they don't understand. They say, well, you know, how come he's still dead? He's still hanging on that cross. And so now most times you see a lot of Christians wearing crosses don't have Jesus on it because he's no longer on the cross. Amen. He died, but he also was resurrected. Amen. Praise God. So we always must have a word in season. And verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So that's revelation knowledge. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this revelation, I will build my church. Some people say, you know, church was built upon Peter. No, church was built upon the revelation that Peter had. So when somebody says that, you need to say, no, the church wasn't built upon Peter. The church is built upon the revelation that Peter received, as we receive that revelation as well. Amen. We've got to receive it for ourselves. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So God has given that authority to everyone that is truly his born again sons and daughters. Amen. Praise God. So the Lord, you know, lets us know who he is, you know, as he is talking to Peter. Pastor Lewis, can you give me those visuals right there, please? Praise God. So God wants us to have a clear understanding that when a person becomes saved, thank you, accepts Jesus as their Savior, and I know you know this, that is then that stony heart, in Ezekiel, the word of God tells, and I'm not going to turn to Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20, and he says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep. Amen. Amen. Praise God. and keep them and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Amen. Now, as you look at this, you know, drawing that I did, you see that it says the word of God is truth. And another word, way to look at it, is the sperm. The heart is the womb. Now, until a person is born again, that heart is stony. And so that heart right there is a stony heart. But when the sperma of God's word, the truth of God's word, enters that stony heart into a man, what happens is the new birth. Amen? And God prophesied of this hundreds of years before, that his spirit was going to be put into the heart of man. Amen. And so at that point in time, just like when the sperm, you know, enters the, you know, the egg and the sperm come together in the womb of the woman at the right time, then a child is conceived. And so the same thing is true when a person, you know, receives that word of God, and then when you're ministering to them and their heart is ripe and ready, then that stony heart, you know, it becomes open to receive God himself on the inside. Amen. And then there's a new birth. A baby is born. A child of God is born. Amen. You all know I like visuals, right? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, when people ask you, you know, well, what happens? What happens? How do I get saved? You know, how do I get born again? You can tell them, you know, it's just simple. You know, just trusting and believing God's word. But, you know, it's also important to be able to show them what God's word says. Amen. There have been times when, you know, I've ministered to people, and you will too, and maybe you already have, and people will say, well, you know, so you want to be saved? And I'll say, saved from what? You know, because they don't know what saved means. Saved from what? Saved from an airplane falling on me? Saved from what? And they're serious about it. So we, you know, need to be able to give them a word in season and to show them what God's word says about Jesus being the Son of God. Amen. Jesus being the Savior. Amen. Turn in your Bibles quickly to Romans 9, quickly. And this is a scripture that I encourage you to put to memory. And actually, you know, if you can carry it around in your pocket, because when somebody's heart is ready to accept Jesus as their Savior, you know, you need to show it to them in the word, I feel. Amen. If you're able to, if not, you know, you can always, you know, just, you know, quote it to them. Praise God. Amen. Praise your Lord. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. And the word, let's read it together. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then look, verse 13, let's read it together. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What shall he be? Saved. Amen. So verse 9, Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so there's got to be an act. It's not enough, you know, for people to say, well, oh, I believe, and I've had many people tell me, well, I believe Jesus died for me. Well, I believe that he went to heaven. I believe he went to hell. But they are not ready to accept him. So you don't, you know, you don't force a person. Amen. Amen. So believing is not enough. There's got to be a true heart's desire to become saved, to receive Jesus as the Savior, to become born again. And then that person will just, you know, didn't have to, you just say, Lord, I, you know, please save me. I believe, you know, whatever, you know, however the Lord will, you know, have you to share the word, but they've got to have a heart to accept. Amen. And then the word of God says in verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth Confession is made unto what? Salvation. Amen. So you need, you know, you need to have both. We need to have both. Amen. Praise God. In some instances, we ask who Jesus is to you. I've had, I remember in particular, this one particular woman, we were at a nursing home ministry. And I mean, she had made up in her mind that she was a child of God. And I said, well, why do you think that? And have you ever accepted Jesus? Nope. I said, well, how do you think, why do you think you are a child of God? Who is Jesus to you? Jesus Christ to you? Well, I'm saved, but I've never accepted him. I said, well, what makes you think? She said, because I was born in the world. She said, everybody's born in the world is already saved just because they're born in the world. So you'd be surprised at things people think and really, really believe. And the word of God lets us know, you know, that every person that's born in the world, because of the first Adam's sin, man fell. We read that scripture. So there had to be the last Adam to come, who was Jesus Christ, to pay that price so that each person can become born again. So there has to be a transference of fathers. Amen. And a lot of people don't want to believe that, you know, the devil is their legal father. But Jesus, you know, said that to many of the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. But we don't have to, you know, no one has to stay in the kingdom of darkness. No one has to have the devil as their father forever. Because they keep the devil as their father, they're going to join him one day. Because his destination is quickly getting to where he's going to be cast into hell. And all of his children are going to eventually be with him. And so it's very important as children of the light of God, as God's children, to, you know, say, who is Jesus to me? You've got to know who Jesus Christ is to you and be able to explain who he is. Amen? Clearly. Clearly. So that even the littlest child can, you know, can grasp it and understand that he is the Christ, that he's anointed, and that, yes, he is God. And people say, well, I've had even Christians to say, oh, well, he was a great man. I mean, people, well, I take that back. They say they're Christians. Let me put it like that. That have said that they are Christians to go to church and say, oh, Jesus was a great man. He was a prophet. But not God. And maybe you've heard that too. Oh, he was a great man. He was probably, he's not God. But yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. You know, but so, you know, the enemy comes to deceive people. And many times he comes as an angel of light. Counterfeiting. But you are the true people of light. When I say you, I'm talking about those that are really the born again children of God. Amen. And you carry the light because you carry God on the inside of you. And he wants his people to share the light of who he is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? In the word of God, many times he's referred to as the Son of Man. And so people might say, well, you know, well, he's the Son of Man. That's what he calls himself. Yep, he called himself the Son of Man. That was one of his names. But the thing is, he was the Son of Man because he took on flesh. We know that Mary was his mother. It was prophesied in Isaiah that he would be born of a virgin. And he was. Amen? Praise God. And we're going to look at briefly at the scriptures. But he was called the Son of Man, but his father was and is Almighty God. He had an earthly father that was actually Mary's husband. You all know this, which was his stepfather. And many assumed that that was actually his father, but it was not so. His father was Almighty God. And the blood that he had running through his veins was from Father God. Because the blood, doctors will tell you this, comes from the Father. The blood comes from the Father. So because he got his blood from Father God and not Mary, not man, his blood was pure. Everybody follow? And so only his blood was able to pay the price of the sin debt, because every person that was born in the earth after Adam and Eve sin, blood was tainted and had sin in it. Amen. Praise God for Jesus. And don't we serve an awesome God? Hallelujah. Praise God. Quickly turn to Isaiah. And you know, I hope you're writing these scriptures down, because people, they will ask you, they'll question you. Amen. And you can, you know, take them to the word. I'm saying, it's nothing like the word of God. Amen. You know, of course they say, well, you know, that's you seeing it. Say, no, that's what God says. You take them and you show it to them if necessary. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so in Isaiah, you know, a lot of times when prophet prophesied in the Old Testament, and even today when we prophesy, you know, we don't fully understand. We just say what God says and trust him and get it out there. So here he's, and I'm sure he didn't understand this. Unless God showed it to him in a dream or vision, but still, look at Isaiah 7:14. And it says, this is him prophesying. Therefore, the Lord himself shall, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Everybody there? Old Testament. Praise God. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself, say himself, shall give you a sign. That sign was Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold, a virgin. This is a sign that he was going to be born a virgin. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So here we see Isaiah prophesying hundreds of years, getting that word out there. And if God says a thing, it may take a long time to come to pass. But sometimes it takes a short time. But whatever the time, timing's always in God's hand. But if he said it, it will surely come to pass. So he said it. And then let's look at Luke. Turn to Luke right quick. Praise God. New Testament. And still, you know, Mary had to have been a woman who really loved God. And she must have been a woman that had a relationship. Well, actually, she was a young girl. And they had a relationship with Almighty God, because she had so many obstacles facing her. She knew that the law said that she got pregnant, you know, some woman got pregnant, she'd be killed. She's going to say, I'm a virgin and I'm pregnant. You know, who's going to believe her? I mean, she had been ostracized and criticized, all kind of stuff she went through all her life, really. But she trusted God. Amen. Praise God. Let me see. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Okay, Luke chapter 1. Let me see. Where do I want to start, Lord? Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, to who? Espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus," that word means salvation, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered, said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which thou shall, that which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived, and a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. And then it goes on, and that was John the Baptist. But look at verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say that. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the, I just love this. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Let me hear you say that tonight. Be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. And the angel departed from her. So she spoke words of faith, even in the midst of opposition. She knew, you know, she just had so many things probably we don't even know about that she was going to have to face. And so the things, you know, you might have obstacles in your life today or the perceived things. We just need to say, Lord, not my will, thy will be done. Be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Your word, your will be done in my life. And when she said that, spoke those words of faith, then the Holy Ghost was able to come upon her. If she had spoke anything else, words of doubt or no, or I can't, it would not have happened. And so God wants us to realize we've got to speak God's words of spirit and life. And it's time really to, you know, to repent and ask the Lord, you know, to plead the blood of Jesus, all of these negative things, because that's out there. And start speaking life. Start prophesying what God's word says about you, about your church, about your family, about your job, about whatever. Amen. Because God has given you that power to speak life. And we're going to talk at some point in time about decreeing things too. Amen. Praise God. So we see that Mary, you know, spoke in faith. Amen. She became the mother of God the Son. Praise God. He needed a body, but his blood came from Father God. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, I'm going to ask you, you don't have to answer. Jesus has so many names. How do you know him? Do you know him as Savior? Do you really know him as healer? I know he's healed everybody, every one of us in here at some point in time. But see, the enemy will come and he'll try to get that word out of you concerning healing. He'll try to bring something else and make you forget about what God did before and make you give up. And sometimes people lose their healing that they once had. And there are a lot of reasons for that, and I'm not going to go into that. But when you get your healing, you really need to testify about it. Amen. And then you need to stand on God's word. God said it, that settles it. Do you really know him as healer, provider, righteous? Do you know him as peace, joy, strength? And when you know him as provider, and I'm going to tell you, if you've ever received a prophetic word, and I have, but before I received a prophetic word, God spoke it to my spirit. I've received it several times. Pastor Louis received it too, that the Lord told me that I would be a very wealthy woman. And I had heard these, so I didn't really understand it. Many times when you get a prophecy like that, you lose things because the enemy comes in. And you are actually going through a test to see, are you really going to believe God is your provider? Amen. Hallelujah. My finances have decreased substantially, but I still confess what God's word says. I'm a wealthy woman. I'm prosperous. I have more than enough and plenty more in store. So who is Jesus to you? And I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about revelation of God's word. If God's word said it, then that settles it. And so if you know him, you know, if he says he's a provider, then that means we're not going to take the tithe. We're not going to rob God. We're going to do it God's way and trust him no matter what. Because if we don't, then that opens the door for the enemy to come in. Amen. Praise God. Who is Jesus to you tonight? Savior? Do you know him as Savior, healer, provider? Do you know him as your righteousness, your peace? When there's a storm, is he really your peace? God says to keep our minds and hearts stayed on him. That one he will keep in perfect peace. Amen. Is he your joy? Because if he's our joy, then the devil won't be able to get our strength. And I'm going to tell you, he comes to get the joy of Christians in all kind of ways and shapes and forms and people and circumstances to try to get our joy. And many times he'll use the people that you care about the most to try to upset you, to get your joy, to get your peace. And you know why? Because he knows if he can do that, he's got your strength. And we need our strength because we are constantly daily in the battle. But hallelujah, how many know we've already won? Amen. Praise God. So do you know him as your joy? Even on the job when you got, you know, the supervisor won't act right, machines acting up, you know, whatever. Being lied on, talked about, somebody taking what was yours. Are you going to let the devil get your joy? Because if he gets your joy, he gets your strength and also gets your peace. Do you know him as friend? Some people say, well, I don't have any friends. Well, you don't have to not have any friends because Jesus is a friend. The word of God says to stick closer than a brother. But to have a friend, you got to be a friend. You got to be a friend with Jesus. And how do you become a friend with Jesus? Hanging out with him? Turning that TV off? Not going to the mall, getting off of that telephone, shutting down whatever, to develop that relationship with him. Amen? Praise God. Lover. You say, somebody might say, well, I'm married. I got a lover. Well, the Lord should be your lover number one. And that sometimes might be hard for men, but it's true. Amen. And if you're single, he needs to be your lover. Husband, baptizer. The names are endless. Who is Jesus Christ to you? That's the question tonight. It's time to know Jesus beyond Savior. It's time to know him beyond Savior. And he desires to be Lord. And we're getting ready to close out, but I want to just briefly mention the two thieves on the cross. And all of you know the story of the two thieves on the cross. Those two thieves on the cross, and I'm bringing my visual out again. This red cross in the center symbolizes Jesus' cross. And there were two thieves. And the one thief, you know, it symbolizes, I believe, people in the world. And even some Christians, I'm sorry to say, that make wrong choices. And this thief, both of the thieves had a choice opportunity to know Jesus as Savior, but not only as Savior, but also as Resurrector. Hallelujah. Amen. And the one, you know, he just went on just, you know, doing everything that everybody else, most of the people around were mocking Jesus and criticizing him and scorning him and everything. But the one, he cried out to Jesus. He said, when you come in paradise, Lord, remember me. Remember me, Lord. You know, each one of us should be saying that, Lord, remember me. You know, and he does because the word says that he has engraved our names in the palms of his hands. He can't forget us. Amen. Amen. And because he chose to, you know, be different, I'm going to tell you, if you and God are hanging out and you're intimate with God, You all are a majority. Doesn't matter what the world thinks or says. It's better to have God on your side than the whole world. Amen. You're on the job and people talking this time. You better hang out what God says hang out with. I'm telling you. Don't worry about what other people say. What does the word say? So God doesn't lie. And we want to be on his side all the time. Amen. So this thief, you know, he could have joined in at the last minute and, you know, wound up in hell with the father, with his father at that time. But he chose father to make an exchange and to make Father God his father and Jesus Christ as his savior. And he wound up in paradise. And then, praise God, when Jesus arose from the dead, the word of God lets us know that those who were in the bosom of Abraham, they arose after Jesus. Isn't that something? And they arose resurrected in bodily form, in mortal bodies. And Jesus took them to heaven. He came back down to earth, but he took them back there. He led captivity captive. And that thief was right along with him. It pays to serve God, doesn't it? It pays to make right choices based on the word of God. Amen. And as we do that, we will come to know him as resurrector as well. Praise God. And that's what we're looking for, the blessed resurrection. There are some that are in the grave that have gone to heaven will be resurrection. But there is a generation. I believe we are that generation that's going to be called up to meet him in the air. Going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Who is Jesus Christ to you? That is the question. God bless you tonight. Father, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your words of spirit and resurrection life. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for the good work you've done in each of us. And in this house, you're faithful to complete it. And we give you the glory, the honor, and all the praise. Reveal yourself to us, Lord, in greater ways, and help us, Lord, to yield to you each and every day. I pray that for every member of this house and those that are on their way, in Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. God bless you. I should please stand for Call to Total Salvation. Amen.